Hi, today is November 27th, 2022. I'm Todd Agassawart with good friend John Westfall, and our good friend Sven Johansson is back. We're going to talk about our post-Black Friday purchases, stuff we thought about purchasing.
Temptations.
Yep, just stuff. And as we know, Sven is the master of buying stuff.
It's a sickness.
I know the feeling. So I'm going to start with something that I think Sven also ordered. It's an Anker 551 USB-C hub, 8-in-1. It's a tablet stand for mostly designed for iPad Pro. Oh, did you get yours already?
Yeah, I got mine. Yeah.
Mine won't be here till like middle of the week.
Well, you're overseas. You
know. Overseas, yeah, that's true.
Oh, I thought it was a frequent buyer or loyalty discount that Sven just has.
So I guess I'll have to ask Sven how it is. So it's a tablet stand. I mean, it's mostly for the iPad Pro, I guess. That's the target audience. But it'll work with any tablet that has USB-C port on it. And that's most things these days. I noticed
some
that it is...
I'm sure. I'm sure some phones, too.
Yeah. And I noticed it's sold out on the Anker site. That's probably because they're selling everything through Amazon, is my guess, because Amazon still has it in stock. So if you want to get one, don't go to Anker.com, go to Amazon. And it was about $100 list, $99.99. And I think it might still be $20 off even today. But on Black Friday, it was $20 off. Actually, it was pre-Black Friday. I bought mine on Thanksgiving. It was $80. I said, all right, $20 off. I've been kind of wanting one, so I got it. You know, the only thing I noticed, Sven, and you can tell me since you actually have one in hand, in the marketing photos, even on the Anker site, I think the right-angle USB-C port is plugged into the wrong place. I think it makes more sense on a tablet than on the Anker site. What do you think? Sven is turning around, wheeling around. He's bringing it up.
Well, the one that goes to the tablet is over on the
hold
right
it. I'm gonna take a picture
side.
Of it. Keep holding it. I'm gonna take a picture. All right. Okay, go ahead. I got it.
Okay, the one that goes to the tablet's on the right hand side.
Okay.
Which the way I put my iPad on there, it's the iPad bottom is on the right hand side, so it seems to work. So it just goes from here.
Isn't the short cable? Isn't one a right angle cable and one's a regular straight?
It doesn't come with any cables.
It doesn't? Oh, I thought
no
it came.
This is it.
Huh. Okay, I thought it came with a right-angle cable.
I should get my box.
Yeah, maybe you have a right. So in the pictures, at least, on Anker.com, it shows... Aha! He missed a cable. Sorry if I blew out the mic.
You're right. So, good call. It's kind of like the Apple Pencil charging doohickey. Yeah, you're right. It's got a right angle. But you can put that right angle...
Either side, I know. What do you think it makes more sense? On the hub side or on the tablet side?
I think maybe on the hub.
Yeah? Okay. Well, that's the way they show it in the marketing photos.
I think it makes much difference.
Yeah, no, it does. Well, electronically, no, I get it. But, just sort of...
I mean, you could plug it in the iPad having it point down.
Right, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
kind of fun,
you could
aesthetic
plug it in
sense,
here, and then at least it keeps it out of the way.
Okay, well, there's nothing else. I have done a good deed today. I pointed out that Sven missed a cable.
I appreciate that, because I'd already thrown the box in the trash. Yeah, I didn't think it came with one.
So, what do you think of it so far? Have you tried it?
It's good and sturdy. It's as stiff as you could possibly imagine,
which is good.
Which is good. In the little video they show on it, the guy just puts his hand on it and folds it down, flat, which it does, that's pretty nice. And he shoves it under his desk. But there's no just sticking your hand on it. It's two-handed to get it up, definitely. But once it's there, I think it's because something's going to sit there.
Yeah.
It's not something that I'm going to shove under my desk.
Yeah, and have you tried using the HDMI out or whatever it has
not.
On it?
It's in the back.
Okay. Yeah.
HDMI's in the back.
Yep. Full size HDMI.
Power on it.
Yeah.
Got two USB A's on the side, and you got the SD cards on the other side. Yeah. I kind of wish there was, you know, it was a little thicker or something, and they put those slots in the front.
Yeah, that makes sense, but, actually.
You know, because it's kind of tight over there where right. I have it sitting.
Ah, yeah, I hear you. Yeah. I hear you.
But because I don't think it's stuff that I'm going to leave in there. You know, right. Stuff in the back is going to stay in there all the time.
Right.
It's stuff I'm just going to put in, take out, a thumb drive or SD card or something like that. It's got a headphone jack. That's nice.
Which I thought was kind of funny, but I mean, well, appreciated, but funny. I mean, it's a mini plug, right? It's not a USB-C headphone jack. It's not a...
No, it's a regular
coaxial. Or is it Lightning?
3.5 millimeter.
Yeah, it's a mini plug.
There's no Lightning on it.
Yeah. Yes, but, and then the only C is the PD port, right? I mean, or not power delivery, but the power input port.
Yeah, on the back.
Yeah.
And I've got a 45-watt anchor little brick coming. Right. Power this thing, just leave it setting, keep it powered.
I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, I think you'll like it. It's got good solid rubber on the bottom, so it won't move around. Rubber on that
looks
part.
Like it's
so
pretty not heavy, but it's substantial.
It's weighty.
Yeah, it won't fall off the desk.
No, it won't.
Yeah. John is looking with either very interest or he's glazed out. I can't tell which.
It's an interesting product that I like that exists. I just don't have a use scenario for it right now. Of course, that doesn't stop most of us from buying things.
No.
But, no.
Although I was actually stopped on a few things, which I'll list shortly. But I just wanted to expound on, you know, something I've been talking about. For my retiree setup, I decided to go with a mini keyboard. I had a big, huge, you know, with numeric keypad and cursor keys, and it was just too darn big. And in fact, I kept feeling like it was not centered because it had so much stuff on the side, on the right side, you know, the keyboard and, I'm sorry, the numeric keyboard and cursor keys and so forth. And I kept putting my hands in the wrong place. So I bought a mini keyboard we already had a mini keyboard with a mini roller ball thing, mini trackball, but it didn't light up, and I kind of wanted a keyboard that lit up so I didn't have to turn on all the lights to use it. So I got the same brand. I can't remember what it is, but I got the same brand. Lights up. It's a USB-A, you know, type keyboard. Works great. I'm really happy with it. And I just want to know, you know, I've been using mini keyboards with my iPad and other things so long. I'm not sure I like, full-length keyboards. Now, the keys are full-size, in my opinion. They're big enough, you know, when I put it next to, say, a notebook keyboard. But that said, one of the things I considered but did not buy, even with the sale, is a mechanical keyboard. I got a Scissor Keys keyboard, which is fine for me, you know. I don't know, have you guys bought... I know several people have bought mechanical keyboards, which start at about $80, $90 maybe, and go way up from there.
My problem is I have two or three primary workspaces, and if I had a mechanical keyboard I really loved at one of them, then I'd want it for the others, and it would just lead to... the same purchase times three. In fact, the keyboard I'm using right now is the exact same keyboard I have in my office, because when I found out I liked it, I had bought another one 10 years ago. So hopefully this one will still keep going for a while.
That's good, yeah. Is it it's not a mechanical keyboard, I take it. It's just
it's
regular old keyboard.
Apple keyboard from 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. And Swan, you buy everything. So which mechanical keyboard did you buy?
I tend to go for the Logitech ones. You know, those things, I've got a big
one,
the full size.
Yeah.
Everything.
Is it one of the mechanical ones or one of the regular?
No, it's
types?
Not. And I'm not a touch typist, so
yeah,
it really doesn't make that much difference to me. I mean, there's nostalgia to the clackety clackety, but it doesn't make me any faster.
But you feel faster, you know, with the clicking going on.
It does it? Yeah.
So that was one of the things I considered buying.
At least it makes
other
people in the house think I'm doing something.
Right, exactly. And so I thought about buying it, but I said, do I really want to spend $100 on a keyboard? And I said, no, I don't. You know, it turns out I did spend about $100 on keyboards because I bought three of them. But at least, you know, I found the one I wanted, Ben, and still only spent $100. So, okay, I'm good with that. The other thing I thought about getting was a sub-$100 display with speakers, because the $80 display I got, which is super thin and really nice, it's a, what is it, an Asus, Acer, something starts with A. It's a really nice display, and I have no problems with it, except that after I bought it, I thought, oh, shoot, I should have bought one with speakers built in. And there were a couple that were in the $90 price range during Black Friday sale, but I said, nah, I already got $100. I already got my $80 display. I'll just live with it. It's not a big deal. And the last thing I almost, well, I thought about but did not buy was a smart guitar. And you may have seen the Lava series or the Enya, E-N-Y-A, smart guitars. And they were on sale. I think normally they're about $899, and I think they're on sale for about $699. So, you know.
Like you can say, hey, guitar, play flamenco for me?
No, but pretty close, pretty darn close. Although they're acoustic guitar, I think they're acoustic. Yeah, I think they're steel and classical strings, but they're acoustic guitars. But one of them has a built-in amp with effects, and you know, and most guitars have tuners built in now, but and effects and things, and it was quite neat. So you can do you can fake acoustics on it for reverb and that sort of thing. So at any rate, I didn't buy any of those things, but I did buy the Anchor that Sven's already got. I guess one of the joys of living near a hub, living on the mainland.
Living on the mainland, I think, is probably it.
Yeah. Yeah, there were a couple of times when my daughter was going to school in the mainland that I had to send stuff to her because they didn't ship to Hawaii. Like Bluetooth earbuds because of the batteries, yeah. I guess, didn't ship to Hawaii. Yeah. So, anywho. Okay, and that was it. That's pretty much my list. I bought an ODB2 diagnostic doodad for my car, but it was like $15, I think. Yeah, but aside from that, I've got an old car, so I figured it'd probably be good to have. That's about it for me.
Well, nothing else that'll give you an idea of what that caution light actually means.
Exactly.
Sometimes you can resell.
Yeah, yeah, like, you know, I didn't close my gas cap. That happened to me once. I didn't close my gas cap properly. And the light went on. I said, what the heck? But at any rate. And I couldn't turn it off myself.
Well, we had a Hyundai that it just decided the gas cap wasn't closed properly. You know, periodically. So I just go in there and reset that. It'd go for another 3 weeks. And then all of a sudden, boop. They finally complained and they fixed it. There's nothing wrong with the gas cap or the way we put it on. It's just, it was too sensitive.
Yeah. So Sven... What's your awesome list?
I just threw a couple of things in there since we are still in the middle of Black Friday and Cyber Monday is coming up.
Mm.
So there's, you know, some of the things that they say Black Friday sale ends today.
Right.
They'll have a Cyber Monday sale starting tomorrow for the same stuff. But I noticed there's a lot of good sales at Anchor. 30% off on a lot of stuff. And I've been pretty pleased with their chargers and battery packs and cables and stuff like that. I think I just picked up a couple more cables. And I'm starting to replace things for travel and for, you know, just around the house so that I have something that I know works. And the problem there is that USB-C is really, really strange because USB-C is a connector. It's not anything else on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that USB-C connector can be USB 2, 3, 4, Thunderbolt.
Yeah, true.
The underlying stuff. And if you grab a $5 cable and stick it, you know, and try to do data transfer over it, may or may not work. Try to charge your laptop with it, and it doesn't work because it doesn't support that kind of power delivery.
Right.
You know, so I put a link in the notes there. There's a YouTube thing. It's a guy named Rene Ritchie, which you've probably heard of.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's hard
to listen to sometimes, but he does a little rant on USB-C and all the different things that can go wrong. And he's gotten to the point where he says, I don't buy anything but Thunderbolt cables anymore. Yeah, yeah. They're $30 a pop, but when I grab a cable, I know it's going to work.
It's going to work.
You know, so.
Well, I kind of feel like that about Anchor, though. You know, they tell you if it's a, you know, design more of power than data, and they're pretty trustworthy.
They do a good job. And what I bought is I bought a couple of 10-foot power delivery cables that'll do 100 watts. So so that, you know, you plug that in a wall somewhere and sit in a hotel bed, and you got enough length there to keep it running.
It's funny you mentioned the power rating for the USB-C cables, because I just noticed the other day. You know, I got that Anchor GaN, right? The gallium nitride. Nitrite? Yeah. Power delivery system a couple of months ago. And I noticed that my, I don't know what it is, maybe like a 20-watt Apple USB-C power, you know, wart charged much faster than the GAN. Then I realized I'm using the wrong cable.
Yeah. It's really kind of sad. So Everybody in Europe now that everybody's going to be a USB-C connector is going to have to buy all new cables. So that's very good. Because the cables they got probably won't work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, or at least not the way they expect it to.
Rene Ritchie used to write for iMore. Maybe he still does.
Yes, he's the managing editor.
And he was on MacBreak Weekly, which I used to watch a while back when he was on.
He still shows up there periodically.
And I remember I found him to be very informative. I found him funny is, you know, he was, and a lot of these tech pundits, I'm not among them, but a lot of tech pundits are very fussy about things, you know? Like, I remember when the Retina displays came out and, you know, some phones and iPads didn't have them and some did, and you know, he said it was like scratching your eyes out when you weren't watching, looking at it. And I don't know if he was saying that in jest or if he was serious. But John and I had that discussion of, you know, really? We've been looking at these things for years and, you know, I don't think they've harmed my eyes.
I will say if you've got a 1024 camera and then go back and look at a 720p,
yeah,
you can tell the difference.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes it's a good thing because it kind of, for old people, it kind of fuzzes out the wrinkles and stuff.
It's good for politicians.
It's not. I don't need to be high resolution.
There you go.
But so that's you know, just good stuff on Anchor. And I noticed that when I looked for stuff on Anchor and Best Buy and Amazon for the same Anchor thing, sometimes Anchor was cheaper, but they all seem to be matching prices pretty well. And then sometimes you could get something on Anchor site that Amazon didn't sell. So shop around. The other thing I got was by Hyper is a little. Everybody wants to call them docks these days, but I think they're port replicators. Really, is what they are. But it's and I put a picture in the show notes there. It's a little color matching little hub for an iMac, for a 24-inch iMac. You know, all the new colors on it. So
does this stick to the bottom like that?
It's actually screwed on. It's a kind of a clamp.
Oh, like a clamp, on, like a C-clamp?
Yeah, so it's a little clamp on there. It's got two little rubber strips on there, and you just tighten down the little set screw, and it hangs on there. It's really tight and solid. That's it. It plugs, since the USB ports on the iMac are right up behind that, it just has a little short cable, plugs right in. And you've got a couple of places you can plug stuff in real easy.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that.
And it comes with every color. So I mean, instead of you having to pick the color, it comes with a little greenish thing as a strip that sticks on. It comes with every color in the box.
It's a facade.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty smart, actually.
Yeah, I think it's probably cost them less to do that than to have, you know, seven different SKUs.
Oh, I'm sure. And it looks brilliant. They really do a lot of attention to detail for just colored stickers. So it's a perfect thing where they get a lot of points for it by detail-oriented people, but didn't actually have to go through the tooling process.
Right.
No.
And looking at your photo, I mean, and I should note that, you know, Sven's favorite color is green from what I can tell. And he's got a kind of a greenish tint iMac, and the sticker looks perfect. I mean, it's a perfect match.
Yeah, they did a good job on that.
You know, it's funny you mentioned, you know, maybe the dock is not a right word. I don't think young people know what a dock is anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I remember getting a TI notebook with a dock at work. I think it was $10,000. It was crazy back, you know, 20, 30 years ago. I mean, almost 30 years ago. And the dock was bigger, heavier, and more deadly than the notebook as a weapon. If you hit somebody with that dock, I mean, it was maybe 20 pounds. And this is when notebooks were like 6, 7, 8, you know? So it was significant. It literally, the notebook slid into the dock like a USB-C, connector into a USB-C hub. I mean, it just locked into place and it sat there. And you could put a display on top of it. Well, actually, no. Well, I guess you could, but you could just flip up the notebook display and inside of the dock, and there you were, and you had Ethernet. Because, of course, back then, notebooks didn't have Ethernet and stuff built in, I think.
No,
I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, some of them did. But you needed, the 24-pin
right
cable, too.
Right.
So not too many of them had that.
Yeah, so I think...
9 pins on the laptops.
Yeah, I think young people need to go to a shipyard and look at what a dock looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, the other thing is, they call these things hubs, too. But a hub to me is something that has multiples of the same port.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. What I'd really love to be able to find is a USB-C hub, something that has 4 or 5 USB-C ports on it.
Speaking of that, I wish the Anker 551 USB-C stand hub, 8-in-1, whatever you want to call it, I wish that had USB-C output ports, or just ports.
Just the one.
Yeah, and that's just for power, so,
No, that is the one that brings all the stuff back down to all the ports that are on it.
Right.
So it's more than just, that's where the HDMI comes through.
Yeah.
But the one on the back is for power.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, There's two, right? There's one to connect to the tablet and one for the power. Got it.
One to connect to the
to
whatever device you're hooking this
to. But nothing for accessories aside from the iPad itself.
Nope.
What it's got USB A's, so I guess.
Yeah, it's got a couple A's on. So.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting. And then this thing down there, I did do some stuff in my family room. I used to have a Denon stereo down there, 5.1 surround sound thing that, and also I think I talked about it last time, and a Harmony remote to control it all. And I went and looked at it, and I had a Google Chromecast on it. I had a Fire Stick on it. I had Roku on it. I had an Apple TV on it, and I had this Harmony that you could select every one.
Oh, I forgot about Harmony. Forgot about Logitech Harmony.
Yeah, so have they. We realized, we started looking at it, and we said, and we've got a new TV that's got Apple TV in it,
really?
You just have to use the remote.
Yep.
Yeah. I didn't know the Apple had licensed that technology.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's right there in the TV.
Wow.
So we realized that all this stuff, the only thing we ever did was turn on the radio. I mean, the regular broadcast radio. And I said, this is too much stuff. So I ripped all that stuff out, and I put in I put the Apple TV. I kept that on it so that you can do some more stuff with that.
Right.
But mounted it on the back of the TV. Then I put up a floating shelf and put two Google Nest Home speakers on it and a little Nest Home hub, and that's my radio.
That sounds like a complicated radio.
And it sounds really good. It sounds as good as the Denon used to, for when I just want to sit down there, read something, listen to the radio, or not watch TV or Apple TV or something. So Google's having great sales. I mean, we're talking 50% off on these things. So, so I got two Google Nest Audio speakers for $100 the pair instead of $200 for the pair.
That is a good deal.
And they're in green.
Of course. Yeah, I'm looking to see what else they got.
And the little Nest Hub is not the Max, but the little Nest Hub, the 5-inch, 5-7-inch thing, was $50. So I can use that. I can use that to just, I can tap it to turn on the radio because it's got a shortcut I can use.
And I was going to ask what a Pixel Pass is, but that's a gaming thing. I don't know what it is actually.
Yeah, it's a gaming thing.
Oh, okay. Oh, wait a minute. What? Wait, what? Hmm? Oh, I see. It's got YouTube Premium and Preferred Care and.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, it's kind of a old school. Back in the day when we had subsidized phones, you can get a phone out of this too. So you pay $37 a month and you get a phone and YouTube Premium and Google Play Pass and Preferred Care, and I guess that's it. But that's interesting. And Google One, 200 gigabytes of Google One, which is not a lot, it turns out. But, cool. I'm trying not to be tempted by anything.
Google One, for whatever reason, which gives me 2 terabytes, I think.
Yeah, but, you can. Yeah.
But it also gives me a 10% back on anything I buy from the Google store. So, so it makes. So that's kind of nice.
Oh wow! The Pixel 6a is $299.
They've got some good sales going on.
Yeah, regular is $449.
Yep.
$150 saving. That's pretty significant.
For a decent price phone in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. True. Okay, I'm trying not to be tempted. I'm trying not to be tempted. I'm
not. Get off tempted. That page.
Yeah, I just clicked the X button. It's gone.
And the last thing for old people who remember photographs.
Yes.
I've been trying
to remember these things.
Yeah, I've been thinking about or trying to digitize the boxes and shoeboxes of photos that I've got for references. And I looked around and had some recommendations, and this thing, the Epson FF6800W photo scanner, which I thought was really strange. I looked it up today, is $399 at Epson, right, and $499 at Amazon, and $599 at Walmart.
What?
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of strange. But it's not cheap, but it really zips through photographs, and the software that comes with, which I assume you could put it on any one of these things. It looks a lot like that Shaq receipt scanner that he advertises. I don't know if you've seen that. Looks very much like it. You just put the, you know, a stack of photos on the top and it just zips them through. And the software has three files for each one. So it's double-sided, but it does the scan of the picture, and I put it in the notes there, the scan of the picture, then it does an enhancement on that. And I think it does a pretty decent job. It also does the back of the photo. So in case you've, somebody has written something, which back in the day you wrote on the back of the photo who it was and when it was taken, like that. So if you've got that written back there, you know, you've got a copy of that.
Oh, that's pretty clever.
So, I don't know if you see in the notes there, that's my wife and her brother.
Yes, I do see the photo.
Yeah.
And it looks like you've done a color correction on the second photo.
I didn't. The software did.
Oh.
So that's one scan. It makes those three files. The first one is the scan, and that's pretty much what that picture looks like. And then the A is its enhancement of that scan,
right,
and the B is the back of the photo.
The back.
Hmm. So for every picture you run through it, it gives you those three.
That's really
You can set it not to if you don't want it to, but, you know.
I
figure if I'm scanning, you know, space is cheap.
Yeah. A couple of years ago, I think it was at the start of the pandemic when I thought I would have a lot of free time, which is what turned out not to be the case, I bought a 35mm negative scanner.
Yeah.
So you just, you know, and John's looking puzzled. So John, no, I'm kidding, John. I know you know what it is. But for those who don't remember, in the old days when we had film cameras, you would take a negative out of the, very carefully, out of the camera, take it to a sort of, normally a kind of a drugstore, like a pharmacy that also had photo processing or sent it off, and you would wait. In the early days, you'd wait a couple of weeks. Then it was like a 1 hour photo. Now I don't even think they have that. And then you'd get these things on paper, for those who remember what paper is, really special photographic paper, and that lasts a long time, hopefully. And that's how we got photos, for those who don't remember. And now, what do we do with them?
Paper. You got one of them.
Yeah.
You know. You could go back with that negative, and you can get copies for your mom or something.
That's right.
That's how it worked.
Yeah, it was really complicated, and you had to be patient. It's like, oh, when is it going? Oh, and also you had to shoot the whole roll, otherwise you felt like you were wasting the film.
Yeah, and you were very careful about what you took pictures of, because you couldn't take just 15 shots.
Tell me about it.
The best one, you know.
Yep.
You'd waste film, and that stuff wasn't cheap.
I remember when we went to China many, many years ago, and I don't think I had a digital camera yet. No, I did not have a digital camera yet. I think the Apple QuickTake 100 was always too expensive. It was like almost $1,000, I think. And so I had a regular, you know, point-and-shoot 35mm camera. Nothing fancy, not an SLR or anything. And I took 10 rolls of film, and each roll had, I think, 25. Yeah, maybe it was 25, maybe 30. But, you know, not a lot. Basically, it was less than 300 photos I could take total for the entire trip, right? Yeah. And so you really had to pick and choose. Is this worth remembering?
Yeah.
Right. Now 35 is something you shoot in 5 minutes, right? Just to make sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can one of everything. Just in case.
You know, 10 shots and picks the best one for you, and you can pick right. the other ones if you want, you know. So.
Right. Oh, and then I had to buy a lead bag to store the film in so I could put it in the suitcase on the way back. And or on the, well, either way, but.
Wipe it out.
Yeah. I wonder what happened to that lead bag, but anyway. That's great, actually. I mean, it's for me, it's pricey as a soon-to-be retiree, but it's certainly, if that's something you need to do, that's a very good price, actually, for something that is way faster than, you know, one photo at a time, which I have done.
Yeah.
And it's not fun.
Flatbed scan. Or multifunction printer.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But instead of a sheet feeder scanner, it's a picture feeder scanner.
Right. So hopefully it knows how to handle it properly. And
it does. I found it, you kind of have to get the same size pictures together and scan those together. It does okay with a little bit of difference in sizes, but you can't put an 8x10 and 3x5.
How big is that? It looks kind of big in a photo, but I'm thinking it's probably not that large, actually. Since we don't record video, Sven is scooting his chair over to another area of his workroom. All right. Oh, it is kind of big, actually.
It's like fairly good size.
It's like a small printer.
It pops up in a normal scanner type stuff.
Wait, I'm going to take a picture. Hang on. Hold it. Keep holding it.
Got to take a picture. He's going to do it. He'll do it.
I'm there.
Do 5 reps.
I got it.
Use them for your workout for today, Sven.
Small bread box.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like what used to be the travel printer size, almost. A little bit thicker, but pretty close.
Yeah.
Back in the days when
people did that.
You remember?
Did, yeah.
Actually, it's not that far. I actually bought a travel printer for my daughter, not for her to travel, but she just wanted something small. And I said, well, that's as small as I can get and still print paper. All right.
Yeah, I've had one over the years. And the problem with that is unless you travel reasonably often and use it reasonably often, you wind up buying a set of cartridges for it every time you use it. You know,
right. And cartridges are not cheap.
Amazing how many things in life that you buy thinking you're going to use them periodically and realize that they get destroyed because you don't use them enough.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
It is really shocking, I think, how often that happens to us. Especially where things... we buy something and we think, oh, I'll take this on my trips. And you take it on one trip, and then 6 months later you go take it on another trip and it's completely dead or, you know, won't power up or whatever it is. You know.
Or the battery exploded because you didn't pay attention to it for six
months.
Yeah. I've had
or
that
Or it was
happen.
That car that you didn't run enough and it just won't start again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Actually, I had a great Apple Bluetooth keyboard that I thought I was using regularly, but I guess I wasn't. And one day I tried to turn it on and it wouldn't turn on. I looked inside and I think the battery had exploded or something. But at any rate, I digress. All right. And John has a whole list of stuff, too.
Yeah, well, some of my actual stuff, some of it is stuff that just will get used. I don't know. It's somewhat techy, somewhat not. The tech purchase I made so far, I think we mentioned on here at some point, Nomadic, the luggage company, released a collection of collapsible bags earlier this year that I backed on Kickstarter or Indiegogo. And I got my 4 bags. There was a tote bag, a duffel bag that actually has a backpack strap option, and then a couple of slings that collapse. And my wife really liked the duffel bag, and it wasn't on sale, but it was, you know, available now, so I picked her up one of those. I also got a couple of things they did have on sale. One of their smaller access pouches is what they call it, or basically it's a very small over the shoulder bag that does RFID blocking and such. I figure it'd be good for travel now that I have a bag that's a giant cave of a bag, so sometimes I want a little bit more organization in it. And then I also picked up one of their small packing cubes. I'd actually picked up a lot of the bigger packing cubes on eBay a few weeks ago. You know, that's the other thing. that I have found interesting. Nomadic and a number of other companies now will sell bundles through these third-party curated boxes like Bespoke Post and all of those things. And those people, most of the time they get them, they don't want them. Or enough times they don't want them. So they just put them on eBay for usually cheaper than what you would get new. So I had gotten a pack of Nomadic travel collapsible packing cubes for cheaper than what Nomadic was selling them for, even on Black Friday, because someone just wanted to offload them. So this brings me to my second point, which is if you've forgotten about eBay, if it's been a long time since you've used an eBay account, you might want to go back and look at what they have new that people are dumping just because they got it through a subscription box or they got it through somewhere that they didn't really want it and they just throw it completely new with tags on eBay. The other thing I've noticed on there a lot is Disney collectibles that as I get ready to go to Disney in a few weeks, it'd be nice to have some of the bling in a sense, but I don't want to pay the prices at Disney for the bling.
Or carry them back.
The bling on eBay is cheaper. So I can get the same thing for $10 less or get a bundle of a few things for $20, $30 less. So that's,
you know,
that's one reminder for people.
Two things, John, I wanted to mention, and one I wanted to ask your help for later on, is the Nomadic cubes, which are cool, very cool. I was going to say, you know, in the old days, I don't know if you were an Eagle Creek fan back in the day, and I just had to go check if they're still around, and they are. I was a huge Eagle Creek fan, especially when I was traveling, you know, once or twice a month back in the old days. I just had a lot of Eagle Creek. And I just want to say that they are more expensive, I think, than Nomadic. But they're still around, and they have some digital cases and stuff. And I, from personal experience, I can tell you they last not just years but decades before they kind of fall apart. Or at least that's been my experience. So you get your... you get your money's worth out of, you know, a slightly more expensive product. In fact, I think my roller bag is still usable 30 years later.
Yeah, there's another company called eBags that's
has
a lot of packing cubes too.
I have that set of packing cubes. The ones I have from eBags weren't the compressible. They were the first gen that they came out with, and so I wanted to get a set of compressible as well. So now I am packing cubed up.
Yeah. The other thing go ahead. I was going to ask you your help, John. Is I have, you know, and Sven is probably going to guffaw at this, but I have never used eBay in my whole life. I have gone to eBay.com. I have looked at it. I have talked to people who've sold and bought things on it and go, oh, nice. You know, I have no idea how to use it. And as one of my retirement activities, I need to clear out a storage unit that I'm renting for like $190 a month. That it consists of all the junk I kept at my parents' home for over 40 years, you know, until they passed away and I had to clean out their house. And by cleaning, I mean I had to clean out my stuff out of their house as a, you know, grown-ass adult. And I have like 5,000 comics I think I would like to sell off because I have nowhere to keep them in my home. I might just keep a few for as memorabilia, but I will ask your help for advice on how to do such things.
Well, and it's gotten more complex with eBay in the last few years because different tax reporting now is required. It used to be that you could sell, I think it was up to $2,000 without having to report it, and now it's ridiculously low. So I have not sold on eBay in a while. I have purchased much more than I have sold, but there is a lot to think about that if you have a local, especially for comics, if you've got a local comic book store that would buy them or, you know, a secondhand store that would give you a decent price, that might be an easier way to go with it and just pull out the ones that you know have the high value that you want to either keep or you want
to
resell specifically.
That's a good point. Because really the goal is to clean out space so I can reduce my monthly costs. So I make money just by getting rid of stuff, even if I don't sell them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you got Craigslist out there. You're just trying to get rid of stuff. That's an easy way to do it. It's typically local. So
that's a good point too. And you know, I've got a lot of like I hadn't gone back to my storage unit in like probably over a year during the pandemic. And I went back recently. I think I was mentioning to John the other week that my daughter thought she might have packed something in amongst my stuff, which is I thought was weird, but it wasn't there, so she had not. And so I went down with her, and we took a look, and I was looking at stuff. I said, man, I've got like 10 or 12 bags, you know, like laptop cases and various, all in good, great condition. So, you know, like hardly used. And they're in, you know, low humidity, air-conditioned, climate-controlled environment. So they've been stored pretty nicely, you know. But at any rate.
So the other thing that I...
All of Colorado is a low humidity, air-conditioned environment.
Hawaii is a high humidity all the time.
It's 34 degrees, by the way. So.
Go ahead, John.
So my other... I guess technically a Black Friday purchase is the coffee company that I like to order coffee from, especially their flavored coffees. It's a company called Dilworth. They were doing a sale on their flavored coffee that was $10 a bag, and it's normally about $14 a bag. So I was happy to pick up some there. I bought way too much coffee. I probably got enough coffee for the rest of, you know, the year and probably into next year. Maybe most of next year. But their sale ends today. So if anyone really likes flavored coffee, $10 a bag on there. And then I still am tempted by an Apple Watch Ultra every so often. I have not pulled the trigger on it, but I still am tempted. And the second gen AirPods Pro. Yeah.
I recommend the Ultra.
It's so tempting. Right now I'm on a Series 6 and,
that's what I went
for. I'll see. I'll think about it. This is a bad influence. I am considering.
I got to say, my Series 6 got scratched up pretty well.
Ooh.
So the aluminum case. So I was thinking about getting the stainless steel anyway because they're more rugged. So if you're going to keep it for a couple of years, it's, you know, and I mean the case got scratched up, not just.
Yeah.
Off the top, so with the Ultra is the same price as the stainless steel.
Yeah, and I've
and
always bought
titanium.
The
yeah,
I've always bought the stainless steel. So for me, it's the same kind
price.
Of thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, very tempting.
It's not ungainly big. It really isn't.
No,
at least not on my wrist. But,
no, it's just for me. I like the stainless steel Apple Watch because I have, first of all, a ton of straps for it, so I can go from a more dressy look with it with a more rugged look, depending on what I want to do.
Now, with the case, that, you know, you got to have the case thought, but all the straps fit.
Yeah.
So,
hey, John, I wanted to ask you about the Dilworth coffee. So I am not a coffee drinker, so this is all a mystery to me. So I see flavors like Snickerdoodle and Creme Brulee and Island Time and Dutch.
Yes.
Do they really taste like that?
Some of them very much so. I've tried about probably half of their flavored coffees. And the thing I like about their coffee is that because it's whole bean, they use oils to actually flavor the beans instead of powder, like adding things to the grounds, which is what most people who I talk to that say they don't like flavored coffee, they say, oh, it's too sweet. It doesn't. That's mostly because cheaper flavored coffees just put flavoring in the grounds and it just brews up like that. So I've been really happy with the quality of their product. It is expensive, but their blueberry cinnamon is probably one of my favorites. It actually, you can smell the blueberries and taste the cinnamon in it. And,
so do you have your own grinder or do you take it to, you know, a local shop to, like Costco has a grinder, I know.
I have my own grinder. I have a hand grinder that was way too expensive. And they actually tell you probably not to grind it because it could rub off on your grinder, but I don't really care because I'm just not that concerned about it.
How are you supposed to use it if you don't grind? Again, I know nothing about coffee.
They actually will sell it ground or whole bean. So I buy it whole bean, but they originally started off as a wholesaler only. And it's only been the last 5 years or so they've gotten into this whole retail space where they're actually selling. Because the way I found out about them was a little bit of sleuthing and finding out that my local coffee shop bought from them. And so, you know, I'm kind of bypassing the local coffee shop markup by going directly to them. But
how dare you?
I know. Yeah, exactly. Well, my local coffee shop has not quite figured out if they want to be a coffee shop or not. To put this into a 1 minute encapsulation, it was started by two women, aunt and a niece. It was a coffee shop where you could actually go and they were open regular hours. You'd sit there for an hour or two, drink your coffee, etc. And they would do lunch and breakfast. And then the aunt sold her share out to the new boyfriend of the niece, and he is a barbecue guy. So then they started doing barbecue lunch.
Which sounds now, good, actually.
Yeah, it's good barbecue. And now they've taken out all of the casual seating, so they're basically just breakfast, lunch, and sometimes a coffee shop. So they don't quite know what they are anymore, and it makes it very frustrating if it's, 2 o'clock on a Tuesday, and you think, oh, I want to go get some afternoon coffee and sit there and read. They're not open anymore.
Right.
And they've just stopped opening on Saturdays and other random days that they don't get a good lunch crowd. So.
And I should remind Sven that John does not have a Starbucks nearby, if I recall correctly, so Starbucks is not an option.
I can imagine John wouldn't go to a Starbucks in the first place.
No, I would. I enjoy Starbucks. The problem is the closest legit Starbucks is 90 miles away in a casino.
Oh, wow.
And we do have some brewed by Starbucks cafes around here and some of the hotels and things like that. But, they're not really that great either. So, I don't know.
Yeah,
I enjoy coffee from everywhere, but I enjoy my own at home more than what I can get local most of the time.
I have probably three within 5 minutes of me, and all of them know my name. So.
Oh, no. Yeah, I think... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, four, maybe five within 3 miles of me, so I know what you mean.
When I lived in New York and I would commute home, I used to take a train that was in the Marble Hill neighborhood of Manhattan at the very northern tip into the Bronx. And if I got there, with the train just pulling out, one train transferring to another, I wasn't too sad to wait 25 minutes because there was a Starbucks right there. So, I was, darn, I missed that train. Guess I got to go to Starbucks now for 20 minutes and get a drink. So I've done my fair share of Starbucks.
Yeah, so, we certainly popped into a lot when we used to go to the MVP summits, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it was so easy, too. I mean, New York and Seattle, you'll trip over five Starbucks in, 2 seconds. And a couple of things I'm looking for. Another virtual private server company. Right now, the VPSs I have are all at one company, so I kind of want another one just for redundancy. And lowendbox.com has a bunch of deals running, and they are teasing that there might be a very good deal on dedicated servers tomorrow. So I'm going to take a look at that and maybe take the jump from a VPS to a dedicated server, but we'll just sort of see on that. I did let a few things cancel that were promotional rate items from last Black Friday. So this is my first of two community reminders. If you did have any of those things you bought last Black Friday that are going to renew at full price come December, you might want to think about canceling them now or calling and trying to renegotiate your promotional rate if you had a year promotion on it. And also, now is obviously the best time to unsubscribe, not from this podcast, but from all the marketing emails. Because everyone who knows you, marketing-wise, has sent you an email in the last week. So it's a good time to search your deleted items for the word unsubscribe and just get rid of all of them for good and not have to even go through the effort of getting deleted.
And I think Gmail has an internal option to help you unsubscribe to stuff. If the subscription source does not have an unsubscribe link for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. So just look around, and this is just my friendly reminders.
It's funny you mention that, because I just got an email from Amazon saying that my 3-month trial subscription to Amazon Prime Music is expiring. I didn't know I signed up for it. So thank goodness it's
nice auto-expiring.
Did you buy anything Amazon?
Oh, golly. Yeah, I probably did.
Like a Fire tablet or something like that.
Yeah, I probably did. It's.
I bought a couple of things here recently. And I get 3 months of Spotify, 3 months of this, 3 months of that. And I on Best Buy, you can go in and say, I don't want this, I don't want this, I don't want this.
Right.
Just because I didn't. Some things I already have a full subscription to. I don't need another 3 months.
Exactly.
Because sometimes you can get those extended. Yeah, it's more hassle than it's worth. Hello, Bunny. Pepper.
Yeah,
oh, that's interesting. Back of your phone gets really weird with the background stuff.
So, yeah. So, go ahead.
All
for
my Black Friday-ing. All my Black Friday-ing and Cyber Monday-ing is pretty much done at this point. Just have to see what's tomorrow. There might be a few good things here and there.
Yeah, I still see stuff like Sven said. I think earlier, you know, the Black Friday really hasn't ended. It's Purple Sunday or whatever today is.
So well, I just got a text from Best Buy. Cyber Monday starts now.
All right, Cyber Monday starts on Sunday.
Time of the year anyone wants Monday to start on Sunday.
There you go. Yeah, I'm looking at. Oh my, do I really want a larger screen with speakers built in? Yeah, I kind of do. I'll think about this.
Our TV or monitor?
It's just a monitor. Just a monitor to replace the really nice, like I said, $80 LCD I bought a few weeks ago.
What kind of resolution do you get on an $80 monitor?
Gosh, I don't remember. It's not 4K or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I think it was 1920 by something. You know, it's a 21-inch display, and it was. I do not have sensitive eyes, I guess. You know, because I don't have any high res displays. I don't have any 4K displays on anything. Maybe with the exception of my iPad Pro M2, that might be the highest resolution device. But I don't have any large screens with high resolution TVs or anything. So, to me, everything looks pretty good. You know, a lot better than the black and white TVs I watched as a kid, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was hoping it wasn't something like 1377 by 768 or something like that.
No, it's higher than that. It's 1920 by, you know, whatever.
Yeah, okay.
1024.
That's hard to find ones that are really high.
Yeah. Except for not having speakers, it's a really fine display. It's super thin. It's, you know, probably much less than half an inch.
That's what your maybe AirPods and your Bluetooth speakers are for.
Yeah, well, that's what I did. That's what I got. I had it spare, unused. Well, actually, it's a Bluetooth, you know, one of those standalone mobile Bluetooth speakers my wife was using when she was, you know, puttering around the house and stuff. And she said to me, it's broken one day. And I said, really? So I just bought her a new one. And then one day I was fussing with her old one. I said, hey, this thing still works. So I used that. So it's like a pinkish speaker, but it works fine.
I'd suggest you probably wouldn't be too excited about the sound that comes out of a $100 speaker or a $100 monitor.
Oh, yeah. It'd probably be a little tinny.
Your air being will probably be fine, but
yeah,
you're trying to get any sound out of it,
yeah,
for a movie or something.
And I should say, like you guys, I am slightly tempted to go buy a new Apple Watch. I have a 6, but it's not dinged up. It works fine. I'm going to be poor in a couple of months, so, you know, I'm poorer in a couple of months. So it's like, I don't really need a multi-$100 watch. No. AirPods Pro 2, I'm a little tempted, but again, AirPods Pro work fine. Actually, I use the Amazon Echo Buds 2 Pro 2, whatever it is, more.
I think because they fit better. The only benefit to the Pro 2 is, you know, they do have the volume.
Yes. Swipe. Yes.
So that's a fairly significant and, you know.
It is.
Thing.
It is. And I think its noise cancellation has been improved, too.
It has.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can sort of remember to do this. I never remember that my watch
can... The watch, right. Me either.
Turn sound up and down.
John has to remind me, like, every week. You know your watch can do that, Todd.
I just used that feature this morning. So I actually do remember it for whatever reason. What is annoying, though, is when you're doing a workout on the Apple Watch and you're listening to music, you have to swipe over to the right to get to your music controls to use the up and down volume. Versus if you're in a workout, the only thing that the crown does at that point is just move through highlighting different areas of your workout data, which is not all that useful. Yeah. It would be nice if it actually did the volume control on that main screen that it returns back to anyway.
I will tell you one disappointing thing for me on the...
It says my AirPods Pro just moved to my iPhone.
Oh, nice.
I can't hear John, so I'm going to have to switch
back.
Still
looks like
it's
in your ear.
This is weird, speaking of AirPods.
The one thing that I'm a little disappointed on the Apple Watch Ultra is that big-ass button on the side, the orange one.
Okay,
the new one. I'm back. It doesn't do a lot.
No, I still can't hear them.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, software, they're going to figure out something to do with... You know, it's not that often I want to do a waypoint.
So they're supposed. I'm supposed to have some sound coming out of my MacBook.
We're just continuing. Doc Todd is having an existential crisis over there. I'm waiting for that big button to do
Let's see if I get sound.
That's what I sort of think is going to happen.
Nope. And I'm sure it will.
I get no sound. Okay, guys.
Yeah.
I can't hear anything you're saying. My AirPods Pro just cut out on me.
Well, we weren't involving you anyway so, in the conversation.
I'm going to call it a day. I can see them laughing. I just can't hear a word they're saying. I guess I can hear it on the recording. But for whatever reason, I cannot redirect my my audio output for me from my AirPods Pro, which decided to connect to my nearby iPhone all by itself. Oh, and now it's saying my MacBook Pro is saying it cannot connect to the app. So all my Apple gear has decided to be really weird, because now it's saying it can't connect to the Apple TV, and I don't have an Apple TV, so it's a good reason why it can't. Okay, so goodbye, folks, and they're telling me they can hear me. And I can see them laughing, so I kind of figure that out. I want to thank our good buddy Sven Johansson
once again
for joining us. And as always, the good Dr. John Westfall. This has been MoViews Podcast number 432, and we'll talk to you next time.